Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning, everyone.
And one of us is here, and that's Jerry Berg doing his Lynette Morgan imitation.
Yes, Lynette is in Germany.
That's right.
She's in Germany today. I've been watching her Facebook posts.
And Dr. Umat is, I think she's in England by now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Her daughter is going to Oxford.
Yeah.
So she's taking her daughter off to Oxford to drop her off.
And our good friend, Dr. Dan Nelson, is on his way to Ireland.
Everybody's skipping around the world except us.
They're escaping country.
I know.
What's going on that we don't know about?
Well, I think we know about it. It's just, you know, some of us want to stay and fight the Bidens, and the rest of us are running away. So anyway.
I'm standing right next to you.
Okay.
And I admit, you notice I didn't say behind you.
That's right.
Even though you're bigger than I am.
Bigger than most people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, but yeah, we fight the fight here, and every Saturday morning you do it with Leading Edge Medicine, and this is live interactive talk radio, and of course you know that if you call in, our toll-free number is 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Give us a call. We want to get as many calls in as we can today. Make the show easy for us. Give us
a call.
Yeah.
And that's when you call in, ask me easy questions then. How about that?
Yeah.
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 Right.
Why do I have this toothache?
That's right. Yeah. Or could you take a look at this rash for me, doctor, over the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always love those.
Well, we've done this for a long time ago, and we've actually tried to tackle some questions like that.
Yeah, we have.
Anyway, but as always, and I tune in, every Saturday morning when I can, and that's, very often, And start off with listening to you. And when we had all these vaccinations and the COVID going around, it was the news point where I went to get truthful, good information all the time. And we don't want to break stride on that. Let's go for it some more.
So. All right. Well, let's start with COVID.
Yeah.
COVID is declining, has been declining all month. So it's, it's fading away for the moment. When the weather turns cold and everybody goes back indoors, there's a good chance we'll get another surge.
Yeah.
But, unless there's another mutation, this particular version is pretty mild for the vast majority of people.
Right. I had it.
So, yeah. Lots of folks do. You know, the biggest single risk factors are age and obesity.
Yep.
The older you are, the more health problems you got, the more it won't take much to kick you over the edge.
I got rid of obesity.
Yes, I see that. You're doing much better. And, of course, obesity, yeah, being overweight increases your risk of serious outcomes 650%.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the single biggest risk factor we got in America. And I suspect that age is partly related to obesity, because in America, the older you get, the fatter you tend to get.
Yep.
That's just the way it works.
The harder it is to lose weight because you're not moving around as much.
That's right. You're weaker. And then...
And the women quit chasing you, too. That makes a big difference.
Well, I don't know. I never used to run anyway. they'd chase, go ahead. The other thing we've got, of course, is now we have a new vaccine out that is got emergency approval for this latest COVID variant.
I think like 200 people have they tested and
yeah, 260 some people they tested it on, and they said they didn't have time to do a full test, and so but the government approved it anyway.
Yeah,
so we've got an emergency approval of a truly untested vaccine. That what's the emergency?
I don't know.
I don't know. Almost nobody's sick.
No.
So we have an emergency where very, very few people are sick, and we want to use a vaccine that they didn't have, quote, time to test.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm waiting. I'm not running out to get it.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, we got monkeypox. Interestingly, monkeypox is declining worldwide.
Yeah.
It, you know, it grew for a little while. They said, we're going to have another pandemic. Well, it's fading away again. So most susceptible people have caught it.
Yep.
And, you know, it'll still spread to some folks, but it's almost always homosexual sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've had your smallpox vaccine, you don't catch it anyway.
Oh. So,
okay, because smallpox vaccine covers monkeypox.
So that would explain why some of the countries, like in Africa, it was more prevalent.
Yes, yeah.
They
and,
were getting
and
that vaccine.
Some parts of the Middle East where the vaccines are considered a Western plot.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And we consider it an Asian plot.
Right, yeah. So, everybody figures
I do.
Somebody else is plotting against them.
Yeah.
That's right. And let's see, what is the other? Oh, polio, of course. Yeah. We still have polio virus showing up in the sewage effluent, but we aren't getting cases of it actually hitting human beings.
Can we treat that better these days?
The best treatment is prevention.
Yeah.
And we've got great polio vaccines.
Right.
And, you know, so the only question is, at what point might we need a second vaccine?
Yeah.
Most of us got vaccinated when we were 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm now in my mid-70s. How good is my vaccination at this point? Yeah. Apparently pretty good, because what we're seeing is the virus is being seen in the sewage effluent, which means people are pooping it out.
Yeah.
So the virus is in their body, but we're not seeing sick people.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a difference in being infected and getting sick from it.
So Jonas Salk had the right numbers.
He had the right numbers. And so we are, you know, as a society, we are protected.
Yeah.
There are some people that are unprotected, and most of them are people that have come into the country illegally. Because legal immigrants have to have their vaccinations.
Right.
Illegal immigrants don't have to have any vaccinations. And many of them come from countries where the vaccines are simply not routinely given.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, that one's not a plot. It's just the way the world works. When you bring in people illegally and you don't bother checking their vaccine status, and you bring them in from places where vaccines are rare, you're going to get a lot of unvaccinated people coming in the country.
Most of them are baptized in the river when they cross.
Well, that's true.
But that doesn't count for vaccinations.
No, it doesn't count.
No.
So anyway, here we are, ready to take calls today, because I think we pretty well covered the great medical news of the day. It's a quiet medical week. It just is.
This is like, usually takes you 16 to 18 minutes to get through this, and then there's a little left over. So things are getting better.
Things are getting better.
Yeah.
Things
Jay Inslee, you need to know that. You could lift the mandates.
Yes, you could lift the mandates. You know, that's the thing is, I have people come into our clinics almost every day, and they read my staff the Riot Act about having to wear a mask.
Yeah.
You know, and they say, why aren't you doing that? Don't you people read the literature? Why are you having... We make them wear masks because Jay Inslee will shut us down. He'll pull our license.
Yep.
And you won't have a doctor at all. Okay. We are required by executive order by King Inslee.
Yeah.
That our staff and all of our patients have to wear masks when they come in the clinic. That's not our choice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's. I think it's probably not going to go away in medical clinics. They're going to continue to wear masks, maybe forever.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah. I don't like wearing one, and it's hard to breathe. So the lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. Right now, give us a call. You'll be first in, first up. That's the rule. And Brady, if you have a caller, I can't see anything on the our chat thing app. So you might send me another test message just to make sure that we're oh, there we go. See? Now it happened. And John in Federal Way is ready to join us, Dr. Mixon.
Okay, well, John.
We got time to take his call before we have to go to a break.
We've got 5 minutes. Let's do it.
Yep. Hi, John. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great, but I really enjoy Dr. Mixon. Of course, I've called many times and been a patient for over 20 years. I can't say enough good. I just think that that's probably why I'm in as good a shape as I am.
Well, super. Thank you, John.
Go ahead.
Question just arose. I had both knees and both hips, and it's been 9 months on the left hip. Mm-hmm. And I'm just starting to walk, and I'm walking at a 19-minute mile. And,
okay.
And I thought, should I be running? And then, of course, how much is too much?
All right. Well, 19-minute mile, so you're just under 3 miles an hour, you know, 2.8, 2.9 miles an hour, which is, you know, not a real fast pace. So I think you've got a ways to go before you run. It's a matter of giving it time to heal. You know, tendons, ligaments, damaged muscles, they take different times to heal. And tendon and ligament heal about 3 times slower than bone. So you're looking at about 6 months to get those tendons and ligaments that were torn, stretched, and sewn back in place when they did your joint replacements. So it's going to be a little while yet before you're really ready to start motivating at higher speed. Rule of thumb, though, whatever you can do on any given day without pain is the right amount, okay? And you're not in competition with me. You're not in competition with anybody else. The only goal is you want to do as much as you can comfortably do without pain.
So I've been kind of following that. So I do like 3/10 of a mile now. And mm-hmm. I have to stop for about a minute. And if I do more than that, my gait changes and I get more pain.
Yes. And that's a sign that you need to build up your endurance some more. So, you know, be patient, but stick with it. Consistency is far more important than rapid progress.
Yes. I have a friend that runs 5 miles, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering, is that too much?
Not if they can do it without pain, no. You know, again, whatever you can do. You know, I do generally about 3 miles. Occasionally, I'll get rambunctious and do 4. But if I do 4 on some of my beat-up old joints, they start to ache and pain, and I've got to increase my relief factor. So,
well, I'm doing that. I take 3 packages a day. I have another subject that I'd like to talk to you about, and that's max heart rate.
Okay.
And I work out like 5 times a week.
Good.
And I keep track of everything on my Apple Watch. And mm-hmm. the typical heart rate goes from, first of all, what's my max? I'm 85, and I do the 220 minus age, I come up to 135. Uh-huh. But sometimes I get up to 150 on some of my workouts, like at the upper body workout.
Yes.
Is that a problem?
No. You know, 150 is pushing it a bit at 80, but again, with upper body workouts, heart rates tend to run higher. If you're doing your walks or even a jog and you're under about 140, I'm happy enough with that. But when you're doing heavy weights, especially if you're pushing things, bench press or lifting things above your head, heart rate will go up really fast, but then it comes down. It's a short burst of increased rate is usually what we see with those sort of weightlifting.
Actually, I'm not doing heavy weights. I've kind of taken pity on my joints. I do like about 55 pull-ups, and I do that in 5 sets of 11.
Okay.
And that's where I get my max heart rate on the pull-ups.
Sure. Well, but what do you weigh?
142.
So you're lifting 142 pounds. I call that heavy weights for an 80-year-old.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing a pull-up, you are lifting your entire body weight. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, so, yeah, I the other part is I get a high heart rate when I do curls, and you put one mm-hmm. knee on the bench and then swing back to coming forward with a curl, and that one gets up over 125 as well.
Sure.
But,
yep.
But I went to see Dr. Maiden day before yesterday, and I'm really impressed. Right. You have time for another question?
Sure.
Okay.
Real quick. Yeah.
Okay. I have high cholesterol. It runs about 220. And uh-huh. Without taking any Lipitor. I don't want to take Lipitor. He recommended red rice yeast, four capsules a day. Okay. And that's where I'm proceeding. I haven't gotten in the mail. But how long should I wait then for a blood test to see the effect of that?
Give it a month. Yeah, it takes
okay,
time.
Perfect.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. That's when my next one's scheduled.
Okay, sounds good. All right, John. Well, thank you for the call, sir. It sounds to me like you're doing well and, you know, accommodating quite nicely to your surgical procedure. So just keep it up.
Yep.
Okay.
And thank you so much.
All
right, you take care, sir. Bye-bye.
And so between the two of you, you've totally intimidated me now. So my jerk lifts consist of lifting the iced tea to my lips. We're going to take a break right now and come back to callers. We have Tom, Susan, and Eileen waiting. We're going to get to you as soon as we turn around and come back from this quick one-minute break. Stick around for more of Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Jerry Berg in for Lynette Morgan this week. Dr. Sue Mass is out of the country. It's just Jerry and Jerry.
Jerry and Jerry show today.
One with an MD after his name and one with a hopeful MD.
All right.
I'm still working on it. Okay. We'll be right back.
I fly for a living, and I'm changing time zones and all this other stuff and getting colds. And when I get a cold, I can't fly. I thought, well, let's give this a shot. I started taking the supplements, and I noticed less colds. So I was working, you know. So then I thought, well, let's try the rest of it. But for us, it's big improvement, and that's why we stay with it.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again.
I'm back in my realm here.
That's right.
I started in radio. What do you think? What do you think, really?
What do I think?
When?
Well, about 60 years ago.
Yeah, it was 1959.
All right.
Yep. Yeah, I have pictures to prove it.
Okay.
I don't have any audio, though.
How old were you?
Huh?
How old were you?
I was 18.
18 years old.
I was in
okay.
high school. Yeah. And then I was interning at KAYO in Seattle. And in those days, they called interning was hanging out.
Yes.
I'd hang out at the radio station, and then they'd give me stuff to do. And being on the sneaking on the air was one of those things. They would sneak me on the air.
Okay.
Now
things just be a lot more flexible.
Yeah. Anyway, 20 after the hour. Glad to have you with us here on this Saturday morning on Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to get straight back to the calls as promised. We do have one line open if you want to get in and listen in the waiting room. You can do that at 1-800-465-8770. We're going to go to Bremerton now, and Tom is up next, then followed by Susan and Eileen. So stay right where you are. If you're on hold, we're going to get to you as quickly as possible. So, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, doctor.
Howdy.
I'm a patient of yours, and I have a problem with diabetes. I was diagnosed with diabetes back in 1999. I've had it pretty much under control until about 6 months ago, and it started being up on me. I've been able to keep A1C about 6.5. Okay. A month ago, it was 8.3.
Wow.
And early August of this year, I had a blood sugar fasting of over 200 for the first time. And I've been trying to find some way to keep it down, but I've been unsuccessful.
Okay. Well, let's start with the basics, okay? How tall are you?
6 feet.
6 feet. And what do you weigh?
160.
So you're not fat. That's good. Okay. And how often are you exercising, and what kind of exercise do you do?
Three times a week, swim hard.
Good. That's it?
Yes, other than just walking around.
All right, so we've got 4 days a week that you're not exercising. Okay? We need you to be physically active every single day. You don't have to go to the gym and be pumping iron or anything, but you do need more physical activity. Okay? Walking from the living room to the kitchen to the bedroom to the bathroom is not exercise. Okay? Nor is walking a Pekingese at half a mile an hour. Okay? You got to get out and do something. So I want you to, depending on what shape your hips and knees are in, for instance, I like to get you out taking a, for whatever a brisk walk is for you, okay? Brisk varies rapidly or varies dramatically, of course, depending on people's conditioning. But, you know, there's a clear correlation with how slowly you walk and how soon you're going to die, okay? The people who walk faster and brisker tend to live much longer than those who walk slowly. So what you need to do is to get out and start with, you know, something pretty modest, maybe a quarter mile, half mile, and walk at whatever a comfortable pace is. But the days you're not swimming, I want you walking, or I want you doing some light weightlifting, or I want you doing something that makes those muscles work. And here's the reason. Muscle burns sugar 24/7. Just by existing, muscle burns sugar. Okay? So the more muscle you've got, and those legs and hips and your butt, those adductors, all of those things involved in walking or jogging, those are big, big muscles. And so you want those muscles to be as fit and strong as possible. You got a lot more muscle in one leg than you've got in both arms and your shoulders put together. Okay. So I'm not so worried about curls and bench presses and that sort of thing, but using those great big massive muscles from your belly button down makes a big, big difference. Make sense? Okay.
Yes.
So I want those muscles as strong as possible, and I want them working some every day. And again, the rule is as much as you can do without pain. If it hurts, don't do it. Okay. Remember that I hate it when I hear people say, well, pain is just weakness leaving the body or something. No, it's not. Pain is Mother Nature's way of saying don't, right? And Mother Nature is not that sweet little lady you see on the margarine commercials who giggles when you fool her. Mother Nature is a cold, heartless, vindictive, unforgiving bitch. And if you cross Mother Nature, she will get you, I promise. Right? So never forgets, she never forgives. So listen to Mother Nature. When she says don't, don't. Sound wise enough?
Thank you for the
All right.
Yeah, no, I that's something I can do, and I will do it.
All right. Okay. Yeah, so do that. You know, there are some supplements you can use, berberine, may be of some help. You know, you're one of our people, so, you know, talk to your doctor. Obviously, I don't have your medical record in front of me. I don't have your in body. But when you come into the clinic and they do your in-body, pay attention to the muscle and fat ratios and watch them change as you start being active. But talk to your doctor, too, about supplement changes you can take to start lowering that A1C. Okay? We'll work with you.
I've got a quick question on berberine. I'm taking berberine twice a day, 500 milligrams. Should I take more than that?
Yes, double it up. Double it up. Go up to 1,000 twice a day, and you can even do it three times a day as long as you don't get loose stools. Some people are a little touchy, and they'll start to get a liquid stool. So, but as long as it's not bothering your gut, you can go ahead and raise it to as high as 6 a day. Okay?
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And so, got it, yeah.
But stay with your longevity doctor. Have him work with you. And, you know, are you on metformin yet?
I'm on Genumet.
Genumet, all right.
I'm on Genumet and Jardiance.
Okay, all right. So you're on some of the big guns already, and that's good news. They may decide to add something like metformin on top of it, but start with berberine, raise that up a bit, and then let's see what happens over the course of the next month or so.
All right.
All right. Take care, sir. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Take care and yell if you need us. Bye-bye, sir.
Thanks a lot for your call.
Bye.
And we have time to squeeze in Susan before the bottom of the hour break here. Then, Eileen, you're going to have to hold over, but we're going to get to you. And that leaves some lines open at 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770. By the way, you can always go to lmclinic.com and check out all the programs here at Longevity and look for supplements and everything else there. So check it out, lmclinic.com. And that's the place you go sign up for that appointment that the guy on the radio says, I went in for that test, that free test, and it didn't hurt.
No, it doesn't hurt at all.
It makes an impression on me every time I hear it. So, and I've had it, and it doesn't hurt. So we want to sign up for that if you're not a patient at Longevity. Good way to start, and it's free. So check that out. Let's get that call right now. Susan in Sammamish, how are you this morning?
Hello, Susan.
Good morning.
How can we help you, ma'am?
So, doctor, my question is a COVID question.
Okay.
I became a patient of your clinic early in the year, and then in June, I attended a social function. I got COVID, and then I got rebound COVID, and I've been in long COVID now. It's been about 3 months, and I'm definitely improving and feel like I'm getting over the hump. My question is, whether or not I can partake in any group activities anytime soon. I don't want to be first on the block for the vaccine, and I think even if I wanted to be first or one of the first, it would be a while before we know how effective that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my understanding that I only had protection against getting it again for about 60 days. And then I thought I heard you say last week that it was significantly longer than that. So I don't know if I have any natural immunity from having this or not.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about two things, both long COVID and the durations and extent of immunities. We'll start with the easy stuff first that we have good data for. And that is the vaccines. The initial two vaccines, those first two shots, give you pretty good, very good protection for the first few weeks. 2 weeks after the shots, you have 95% protection on average. Within 5 months, you've lost 50% of that. So you're down to about 48% protection after 5 months. So it does wane fairly fast. The boosters, you lose half of your protection in about 10 weeks. That's 2.5 months. So that's not as impressive as I would like. You know, it seems that the third and fourth shots actually decrease the duration of protection. We have no idea what this latest one, because only a few hundred people had it even in their testing, and you know, we simply haven't had enough people or had it around long enough to know how much protection it'll give or how long it'll give that protection. So that's the bad news. Now, the good news, even though you lose half of your protection against catching COVID, you don't lose protection against serious illnesses with COVID. In other words, people who are unprotected, people who are unvaccinated, die about 5 to 6 times more often than people that are vaccinated.
Hold on.
Yep.
I thought you could only die once.
That's true. Yes. We're talking about groups, not individuals.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, if you look at the death rates, are far higher among unvaccinated people than vaccinated people. So, you know, people will say, yes, but we see more people dying that have been vaccinated. Well, that's true because the high risk people, that is those over 70, 90% of them are vaccinated. So, yeah, the deaths are going to be skewed to that 90% of the population.
Yeah.
All right. But each individual person is less likely to die if they have been vaccinated. So the vaccine doesn't protect you very well against getting COVID, but it does a pretty good job of protecting you against being hospitalized or dying from COVID. That's a different, very separate issue. Okay. Antibody levels stay higher longer with natural infection. Okay. The vaccines, as I said, your antibody levels drop significantly after about 5 months. With catching the disease, a year to 13 months later, people still have robust antibody levels. So their antibody protection is at least twice as good by catching COVID than it is by being vaccinated against COVID. That's kind of good news if you've caught COVID and recovered. Okay. Now then we've got a whole different issue. Long COVID. Long COVID is a bit perplexing. You know, it is a real entity. It's not people that are just depressed or unhappy. It's, you know, it actually is knocking them down physiologically. The question is why? And we have a lot of things that seem to be going on in long COVID people. For one thing, when we check their antibody levels against other viruses, we find that many of them have had resurgences of several other old viral infections, which is kind of interesting. So people with long COVID are people whose immune system is, I don't know whether to call it defective, but the characteristics of their immune system are such that it allows escape of other viruses and other illnesses. So what you're seeing often in long COVID is kind of a low grade body trying to fight a host of other viral infections that have kind of come back to the fore. You know, folks seem to think that when we catch a virus, we get rid of it and it's gone forever, but that's not true. Many viruses, actually our immune systems don't destroy them completely. They simply become quiescent. And they hide in our systems and we keep them suppressed. But when our immune systems decline in capacity, the virus may surge again. And that's the classic example of that is shingles.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, you know, shingles is actually chickenpox virus. And we catch chickenpox usually when we're around 2 years old. And our immune system keeps that virus suppressed until we're usually 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And somewhere as we age, our immune response is declining to the point that that chickenpox virus flares up again, and this time in the form of a shingles outbreak. Right? And so what we seem to be seeing with long COVID is...
So like that in a couple of weeks.
Good.
So I'm getting more and more back to my regular activities. Your doctor and my own primary doctor have both said, given my overall excellent health, that this is something that will pass. It's just with some people, it takes a while, and I seem to be in that camp.
Yep.
But as I mentioned, my question is, am I protected? Do I have to kind of stay underground for a while until medical science either gets the vaccine correct or we know more about it?
Yeah.
Or is it safe for me to resume any group activities or not?
I would be cautious about group activities, because what your long COVID is telling me is that your immune system has still taken a significant hit from the virus.
Okay.
And you have not recovered completely. And so until you do recover completely, I'd say you're probably at somewhat higher risk of getting sicker again. And, you know, once more, I don't have good peer-reviewed statistics to back that up. That's kind of my gut feeling and my reasoning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking my best guess, not something I can point to a paper and prove.
Yeah.
But
do you think, let's say, next year that we'll know more?
Yes.
And 'cause kind of my gut feeling is that for the rest of the year, I just need to be cautious.
Yes.
And that maybe sometime in the next year, in 2023, we'll know more than we know now.
I think that's obvious, because long COVID is one of those things a lot of people are looking at real hard, trying to figure out exactly what's going on and what to do about it. You know, the only things I can tell you right now that appear to be true is that everything you can do to boost your immune response, that is moderate exercise to tolerance. Don't exhaust yourself, because you can over-exercise and suppress your immune response. But exercise boosts immune response. Okay, we have found over and over again that people would catch a disease, and in the old days, doctors would say, "Oh, put them to bed rest, make them, you know, rest, and they'll recover better." No, they don't. They actually recover better if you keep them moving. Almost every disease around there, the sooner you get people on their feet, the sooner you get them active, the sooner you get them actually using their muscles, the sooner their immune response boosts their recovery. It turns out that working muscle, and I'm not talking about bodybuilder, great big giant muscles, I'm talking about everybody's everyday muscle. Working muscle produces more than 100 different compounds that boost your immune response and promote healing. So the more physically active you can be without overstressing yourself to exhaustion, the faster you will probably recover from your long COVID.
Well, and what's been difficult for me is that I love exercising, and that is very relaxing to me, something that I normally do daily. So COVID has been really difficult because of the fatigue factor.
Yes.
Susan, we're going to have to take a break here because we're 10 minutes over on it right now.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, I appreciate your help with this. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And Eileen's waiting. We're going to come right back to you, Eileen. The lines are open, and several lines are open right now if you'd like to get in. Give us a call at 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
I'm not a really big fan of Beatles in general, but that song will get you out of a chair.
I like that song.
Yeah.
Although when I was driving in this morning, I was listening to country music.
Oh yeah.
You know, and when you get the really upbeat things with the screaming violins and the pianos, it's just a lot of fun. It makes you. Of course, it's kind of hard to be driving down the road and dancing at the same time, but I get the urge.
In the mid-60s, I stopped listening to rock and roll when it went to the drug culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I started listening to country western music, and I haven't stopped now. I don't listen to pop music at all. I can't even understand why anybody. I'm thinking of the people now that are listening to it, the rap stuff and that. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do when they get to the retirement center and the guy comes around and starts playing music that everybody can sing along to?
I have no idea.
It's not going to happen.
Yep.
So we're going to take one call and then go to a break right after that, because we ran so far over. And Eileen, it's your turn.
Hello, Eileen.
Thank you so much for waiting.
Hello. Yeah. Hey, can you hear me?
I'm on. We hear you.
Absolutely.
Thousands of people are listening to your every word.
No, it's just us.
I know. Hey, my question is about Paxlovid. When you get COVID, we had it in June, so we took the 5-day course, and we got over it just fine. My husband's 80, and I'm 74. So I was wondering, did the Paxlovid kill enough virus to affect the antibody production to protect me from my next attack of COVID? In other words, killing the virus, does that...
No, it's a great question. And the best indications are that for most people, there's still a robust antibody response with or without the drug. So the drug doesn't seem to stop the antibody response for most people. And the reason I put that that condition in there is that there are people that seem to then get a rebound. They get better, and within a week or two later, they come down with COVID again. These rebound effect, those people clearly did not make a robust antibody response. Or they wouldn't have come down with it a second time. So with most folks, yes, you still have your antibody protection. With the people that get the rebound, clearly that did not happen. Of more interest to me is, did you get adequate memory T cell production? Because that's what'll protect you long term way down the road. See, Our immune system is basically divided into two different categories. There's the B cells, the rapid production of antibody cells, that when you first get an infection, they kick out these antibodies that go out and inactivate or destroy the virus. And that's our initial response. But then in healthy people with most viruses, you also produce then some memory T cells. And memory T cells don't help you much in that first attack, but they then have been sensitized to that virus. And when the next time you see the virus, maybe 6 months, a year, 10 years up the road, those memory T cells kick into gear and they kick out killer cells that go out.
Welcome back to the second hour
I wonder what that was all about.
I don't know.
Yes.
We're finishing up, but I'm still here talking.
Anyway, those killer cells go out and they kill the cells that have been infected. They don't make the antibody to kill the virus. But see, what happens is the virus infects a cell. It takes over the cell's genetic material, and the cell now turns its own genome into making new virus. And the cell fills up with virus and ruptures, and then all those viruses infect other cells. That's how viruses work. So what happens is then the killer cells go out. They recognize that a cell has been infected by the virus, and they destroy the cell before it has a chance to fill up and rupture. Okay. So those memory T cells are our long-term protection against, so we get infected, we get sick, but they help us recover very rapidly. That's one we can't test. We can test antibody levels pretty quick, but memory T cells require tissue biopsies. Much more difficult to test for. You can't just draw blood. We actually have to do tissue biopsies and run special analyses. Okay. So, anyway, that's where we are.
Do I have time for one more related question, or should I hold over?
Okay, hold over. We'll do this little commercial that Jerry talked about, and then we'll be back and let you grab another question, okay?
Yep. And quickly,
thank
I want to just hold on there. Quickly, I want to apologize for jumping in like that and starting my announcing mode. It's automatically programmed, and I thought I was going to hiccup, and that's what I got. It just starts up. So let's take a break right now. We're going to come right back and finish up with Eileen, and then we have Todd and Nancy on the line waiting. So take that break right now, Brady, and we will come back. Are you getting ready? Start some music, and let's go. Okay.
Brady, are you there?
Yeah, he's there. Brady?
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. I know he's there, but the phone is probably ringing off the hook and he's busy. So that's it. I have to tell everybody how the radio works. Brady is our guy in the studio that makes us sound good. And sometimes he gets so busy with the phone calls, he has to do all of this stuff and keep the balls in the air. So anyway, so if the phone's ringing and you're calling in, just wait and, let it ring. You'll get in. He'll answer as quickly as he can. We'll be right back. Stick around.
I'm just so pleased, and I just want people out there to know that it just made a difference. I never, ever had this much energy before, as long as I can remember. And I cannot believe the difference in my husband. Internally changing him. I mean, he's honestly getting more confident. And just listening to the radio, you think, oh, it's an advertisement. But when you're actually here and going through it, it's just a life changer.
Hold me, hold me. Never let me go until you've told me, told me.
Okay, we've danced long enough. Let's get back to Eileen.
Yeah, and now we have Todd, Nancy, and Ray, and he's added to our array of calls.
All right.
But let's get back to Eileen right now and finish up quickly.
Okay, Eileen, what can we do to finish?
Yes, hi. Another antiviral question. When I had shingles, I have heard you say that it would be better if you took more than a 7-day course of acyclovir. And it would work better if you took 2 or 3 weeks, right?
Well, I say take it until they're pain-free. Yeah, take it until you're pain-free.
Good. Okay, so would that cross over to Paxlovid as well? Should we get more than 5 days? I know it's in trials, but...
Yeah, it's in trials.
Would that work better?
I don't have the data. That's one of those things that I wish I knew, but I don't yet. But yeah, with shingles, take it until you're totally pain-free. Even if it's 3 months, take it until you're pain-free. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
Okie dokie. Yep. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From personal experience, I know shingles is not something you want to get.
No, it's not. It's
and
not.
Make sure we talked about this when we used to do the show all the time. That's when the vaccine first came out. Cost about $250.
Yep.
The insurance company wouldn't pay for it. I had already had shingles one time. I went and got it and paid cash for it.
Absolutely.
It is horrible. And now the insurance company pay for it and urge you to go in and get it.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
well, it saves some money in the long run.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's grab another call before we go into the top of the hour hard break and come back from that. Todd in Mukilteo is with us right now. Todd, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Todd. I love the name of that town, by the way, Mukilteo.
Mukilteo.
Yes.
It's go ahead, Todd. Mukilteo, north of Seattle, a little bit.
All right. What can I do for you? Okay, speak.
Okay, but the question is this. I had a physical a few weeks ago, and my TSH levels are a little bit high, but my T4 level is normal. Does that mean I'm not converting T4 to T3? And if so, what can I do to change that?
Okay, now, did you say your TSH is high?
A little high.
Okay. If your TSH is high, it means your pituitary is trying to flog your thyroid gland into making more hormone. So... generally, a high TSH says you don't have enough thyroid hormone, period. Okay. It's not related to the conversion of T4 to T3. For that, you look at your free T4 and your free T3. And that'll tell you if you're converting or not. If your T4 is robust and your T3 is low, then you've got a conversion problem. But it sounds to me as if your total thyroid hormone may be on the lowish end. Okay. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, let me do a little medical education here, okay? There are three things we normally screen for in a thyroid test. TSH, which stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. It's not actually a thyroid hormone. It's a hormone that stimulates your thyroid to make hormones. Okay. TSH, the normal range is between 0.4 and 5.4. So, if you're have a high TSH, it says that your T4, which is thyroid with four iodines attached, and then you strip off one of those iodines and make T3. T3 is about 3.5 times more potent and more active than T4. So T3 is actually the more important of the three numbers. Okay. I do not like to see people with a TSH up at 3, 4, 5. They are technically normal, but they're usually tired, cold, lethargic, and fat. I like to see a TSH down around 1. Okay. Because if you can keep that TSH down around 1, people are usually warm, active, and their brain is working faster, and they tend to have quicker, better burning metabolisms. So I generally am looking for a TSH. When somebody like you says it's on the high side, I cringe a bit. Okay. I generally want it down around 1, never higher than 2.
Right. What can I do to increase that without going on like Synthroid or something like that?
Well, then you can start looking to see what's going on. Sometimes adding some selenium or a little zinc may help. But the most common reason is just that you're getting some years on you and your thyroid gland is getting tired, just like your testicles are getting tired, and your adrenals are getting tired, and women's ovaries are getting tired. You know, time and gravity have their way with us sooner or later, and thyroid is one of those things where it does that. And the easiest way is just to add a little extra thyroid hormone.
Okay. So, if I get put on Synthroid, it's not a big deal. There's nothing like taking more iodine would not help, things like that that wouldn't help.
Well, again, those are things that we look at. You know, sometimes increasing iodine helps, sometimes adding selenium helps. So, but those are things that, you know, require your doctor to evaluate you. It's not something you should grab over the counter.
You got it. Thank you, buddy. All right. I appreciate your help. Listen to your program all the time, very much.
Okay, take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay, good. And that leaves a line open for your call. We get a couple calls gathered up. Quick break at the top of the hour. We'll come back and get to your calls at 1-800-465-8770. Nancy, you're in the queue, so don't go away. But I just want to take this opportunity to talk about the free health analysis appointments.
Yes.
We need to do that right now because we need to let people know that these free appointments are available. There are two tests involved, a 30-minute appointment with a longevity specialist and an initial look at why you don't feel as good as you should and as good as you used to. And it's free. That's the main thing that you need to take advantage of this. It's a free appointment. The test is easy. Basically, you take off your shoes and socks and stand on a machine and hold on to it like you're going to ski downhill.
That's
but
right.
You stay right where you are, safely encroached in your position, and then you have an appointment after that with a specialist from Longevity to talk about your test results. And
also do a little finger stick blood test looking at your hemoglobin A1C.
Oh, really?
To see what your risk of diabetes and so on are.
Yeah. So that's and that's been added since the last time I had one, and that's good because you're going forward with more and more tests to add to it to make it even more concisive. So check it out. Go to lmclinic.com. You can find an appointment at the clinic nearest you. That would be in Tacoma, or Linwood, or Kirkland, and pick out your own little appointment schedule when you want to go and sign up right there. And real simple to do. So check it out. The free health analysis appointment, always a great way to get started with longevity and experience better health, feeling better, And what'd you say? Sexier, longer?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier.
There you go. And the proof points, we're going to come right back and talk about more with Leading Edge Medicine in just a second.